Hello and welcome to the Thursday, October 23rd, 2014 edition of the Sands and Storm Center's Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and today I'm recording from Las Vegas, Nevada. Pretty interesting, important, and also embarrassing advisory from Cisco today. Apparently, the Cisco IronPort web security appliance does not only have Telnet enabled by default, which would be bad enough, it also uses a FreeBSD Telnet daemon that is vulnerable to a problem that was originally reported and fixed by FreeBSD in 2011. This vulnerability, it is a buffer overflow that deals with the Telnet encryption key ID, does give an attacker full elevated privileges on your web security appliance. FreeBSD, on the other hand, did actually disable by default this same Telnet daemon since August 2001. Exploits are available given that this is a pretty old vulnerability, so if you can't patch, at the very, very least, do disable Telnet. And even if you can patch, please disable Telnet on your IronPort web security appliance. Rapid7 today did reveal some interesting results from a study checking for misconfigured implementations of the NAT PMP protocol. NAT PMP is an interesting protocol that was introduced in order to avoid having to implement real solutions like IPv6. Instead, NAT PMP does allow NATed network devices to reserve certain external ports on firewalls. This way, for example, internal hosts can make themselves reachable by redirecting traffic from a given external port to the particular NATed device. Problem is that according to the standard, NAT PMP should only be working inside a network, and a firewall or a gateway should only accept these messages on its internal interface. However, what actually happens is that many of these devices, Rapid7 counted about 1 million of them, are accepting these NAT PMP commands even on their external interface. Of course, this will now allow an attacker to essentially reconfigure firewalls because the protocol itself does not use any authentication. And the Chinese website made available a first jailbreak for iOS 8.0 and the very latest 8.1. According to the site, even the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus, as well as the just released iPad Air 2, can be jailbroken with this tool. I haven't tested it yet, but this site has delivered similar software in the past. Of course, regardless of whether the software is safe or not to use, jailbreaking your iOS device will disable most of the security that iOS provides. And security researcher Ed Farrell demonstrated yet again why you should not use standard pagers anymore. Now, I don't see them a lot anymore anyway, but they're still pretty popular in hospitals and other environments. Ed mostly focused on airports, and apparently you can, for example, receive messages when certain celebrities or VIPs are arriving at an airport by listening to pager signals. His slides, I haven't seen them live at the RuxCon website yet. I will link just to the sort of slide overview page. There are a lot of other interesting talks that were presented at that conference, so probably you'll find some interesting presentation anyway, even if Ed's presentation hasn't been pushed yet to this particular site. And you may remember that back in April, Washington State did experience a larger outage of its 911 system. A report released now actually paints a pretty grim picture about what happened there, what all failed, and how big actually this particular outage was. Turns out the root cause was based in Colorado, a call routing center there, and it did affect not just Washington State, but actually also affected calls in very different states like California, Florida, Pennsylvania, and South Carolina. So emergency call routing is actually a lot more centralized and not as local as some people always believe, and a critical outage in one facility can cause nationwide widespread problems. Well, that's it again for today. Thanks again for listening, and talk to you again tomorrow. Bye.